Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Danny Cannell. Back to throw. First and 10. Leaps his tight end.
And Rajah Bell.
Bell has done something. 22 to Rajah.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
What is going on? Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell and Rajah Bell. NFL free agency. It starts at 4 today, but man, it is here already as a bunch of deals were announced yesterday. Fully expected all those to sign. We're going to hit on all of those. Ton of NFL talk today. We're actually going to have a bonus podcast, a special Thursday edition where we're going to break down all things March Madness. And if you're really technical and you're saying, well, wait a second, you're going to miss the first four in, well, screw you, because we don't care about those. We're going to go for the big bracket 64. We'll get our picks, everything you need to know. We're going to hit those. But I teased it off the top. Dudes are getting paid.
Yep. Yeah, I need to get paid. A shade.
You know? I might need to make a comeback. So let's do a little NFL free agency. Like it, love it, or hate it.
I guess hate it.
Give me that one. Give me the official one right there. All right, first one up. Kirk Cousins to the Vikings for 3 years, and these are the key words, fully guaranteed $84 million.
Like it, love it, hate it.
You guys didn't see this, but Danny just did the point to the sound effect.
Boom.
Cue.
What do you like? Do you like it?
So for him, I love it.
Yeah,
of course. That's super dope. And
it's huge.
I'm not an aficionado on NFL quarterback signings, but to have it all guaranteed is pretty cool. But to also have it as a 3-year deal, so you hit the open market again pretty much in your prime, is that pretty rare for quarterbacks? I mean, to be a 3-year fully guaranteed deal, I feel like most of those deals are like 5-year deals where a club gets a little bit more control in a situation like that.
So it is absolutely unprecedented. This is the first deal we've ever seen that's fully guaranteed for anybody. Like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, nobody's ever had.
What about the length of the deal, though?
They're usually longer, but what everybody always asks is what's the guarantee? And usually they're backloaded with some crazy escalators in the last 2 years, and they either always get cut or reworked.
Right.
Like that's why you see always constantly quarterbacks restructuring their deals.
So from his perspective, love it. I mean, You can't. You just don't get any better than
right.
that.
Well,
right?
That's the given,
right?
Like we're all happy for Kirk Cousins.
From the Minnesota Vikings perspective, I like it. I mean, I don't love it. I'd be lying if I said I love it. I am not like a Kirk Cousins.
Not all in.
I'm not. I mean, I think he's good. I've got the numbers in front of me. I could, you know, go down the list of them, you know, top 10 passing categories each of the past 3 seasons, you know, 4,093 yards, you know, I could go through all of that. It's really good, but I'm not sold on Kirk Cousins as that guy. And when you talk about quarterbacks in the NFL, like you're talking about a guy you can give the ball to late and say, yo, take me home. Like we're going to ride you, to the promised land. And they did pretty good with Case Keenum, who isn't that guy either. And so I guess the question for me, like, I think Kirk Cousins is better than Case Keenum. I do. But the question is, how much better is he getting you over that hump? Because if he's not getting you over that hump that Case Keenum didn't get you over, like, I don't love it for them. I like it.
I love it.
Okay.
I think he's going to mean to the Vikings what Drew Brees means to the Saints. I think he finished his career there. I think he brings them to that next level.
That's a good point.
But here's the issue. Like doing my radio show with SiriusXM, we took a lot of callers, and most of the callers, and a lot of them were Vikings fans, were like, ugh, I don't like this. Like we're committing way too much money to them.
Right.
Like this is going to strap us for the salary cap. But I think he is the type of difference maker. I think he is clearly better than Case Keenum. I think he clearly is a top 10 quarterback. And I think this is the going rate. I think it speaks to the leverage that he had of the Broncos and Jets and all these other teams that were talking to him. So they had to go out and get their guy.
Is
so I
there
like
a
it.
Certain amount of pressure for
you
a guy like
it?
Him with this contract? Yeah, you love it, right?
So here's
because he just backtracked.
I love
said
it.
He loved it. And then
no,
the last
no,
thing he said
I
was,
it.
I like it.
No, no, I love it. I should have said I love it. So here's
love
the thing
it.
About the pressure. And this is what impresses me the most about Kirk Cousins. And this is what bothered me about Jimmy Garoppolo. I want to see how a guy does under pressure. How does he do when things are bad? How does he do when he faces adversity? Can he play 16 games? So Kirk Cousins, for the last 3 years, has had his own front office doubt him.
Right.
He's had his own fan base doubt him. But every single year, he's backed it up. And he's like, this past season, the Washington Redskins front office were like, we're going to take away DeSean Jackson. We're going to take away some of your weapons and see how you do.
Yeah.
And he still went out there and put up another season that was top 10. And he's durable. He's played every game. And I think he's got those intangible qualities that you can't look for. Like, I think he's a great leader.
Do you think Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have that adversity?
No, he hasn't faced any adversity yet.
It's kind of true.
He hasn't done, he's, everything's been a cakewalk. Like, in, yeah, in, I guess you're right. He won five, he went 5-0. Like, he hasn't even lost a game yet as a starter with the 49ers. Like, they love Jimmy Garoppolo. What happens when he throws four picks? You know, like, what happens?
No, I hear you.
And how does he respond?
Any kind of underdog story, like, he was the second quarterback picked by, you know.
Yeah, his own team.
Like, I can dig it. He is typically the dude that I would pull for, and I kind of do pull for him. Yeah. I'm just not sold on him. Like,
you are a lot of people. Like, yeah. You are the majority of NFL fans. Yeah. And the problem is, for Kirk Cousins, is now the expectations are sky high. Like, you were one game away from getting to the Super Bowl. Are you gonna, cause it seems like it's Super Bowl or bust.
Right.
But I think he can get there. All right. Next up.
Like it, love it, hate it.
Drew Brees. And there was a little bit of talk that he would possibly leave the Saints, that he was going to let, you know, try to get to free agency at the 4 o'clock where it totally opens up. But the Saints said, nope, we're going to get it done. A little bit of a hometown discount, especially can you compare it to Kirk Cousins' deal. So he gets 2 years, $50 million, 27 of it is guaranteed. Do you?
Like it, love it, hate it.
I love this one. I mean... I don't know who else you were going to be able to go out there and get that is better than Drew Brees at this point. And so for the Saints organization, I think keeping a guy there that's meant so much to not just your franchise, but your city, I think it's really important to do that and to show good faith. And clearly he's not the player that he was 3 years ago, but still an upper echelon NFL quarterback. I love the fact that they were able to get him on the slightly discounted rate that you just alluded to. I think that's dope. And not locking in anything long term. Like, they've got the option. So if he continues to kind of fall, if he continues to kind of slip in terms of production and that age starts to show, they're out of it. And then from his perspective, you get to stay home. You get to be, you know, the guy there in New Orleans, and you're kind of protected with the no trade clause. So I think it was one of those where it just made sense for everybody. I kind of love it all the way around.
And he's a legend in that city.
Yeah.
I think it made total sense for everybody. I love it too. I don't think there was really any chance that he was going to leave New Orleans. I think he's comfortable there. Again, what he means to the city. Think about when he came there with Katrina, the emotional ties, bringing that team to Super Bowl. The city loves him. He loves the city.
Yep.
And I think it's, there comes a point in everybody's career, and you might not like this, Raja, but I think like guys make enough money. Like, they make a lot of money. So what's an extra $3 or $4 million a year going to mean to them? Probably not.
Yeah.
And when you think about legacies, I think Drew Brees would love to try more to bring another Super Bowl to New Orleans than to go, say, to Minnesota or some other franchise. He'd rather say, you know what? I'm going to finish my career here. So yeah, I love it too.
Well, once you've made $100 and some million,
right. You can lock it in.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. You're good.
Exactly. All right. Next up.
Like it, love it, hate it.
Ooh, this one could get interesting. So Case Keenum, the quarterback that gave Minnesota a 13-3 record, had them one game for the playoffs, or from the Super Bowl, he goes to the Denver Broncos for reported 2 years, $36 million. Do you?
Like it, love it, hate it.
I like it. I think, you know, if you had told Case Keenum before last season that he was going to sign for 2 years.
Yeah, he would have said, sign me up.
He's in. I'm all
in. I'll take half of that.
Correct. And then for the Broncos, they've just been, I mean, it's been a revolving door of guys that come in and can't get it done and money thrown around. And so I think that he's different from a lot of the guys they've had there recently in that he's still got something to prove. Like, he's got the money, but he doesn't strike me as the type of guy who the mid-tier NFL quarterback money is going to like satiate that hunger that's naturally built into him from having to overcome every odd, you know? So I think they still got themselves a hungry quarterback. He's got paid a little bit. And they needed a quarterback. So for me, this is one of those, it's a win-win. I don't love it because I don't think that Case Keenum ultimately gets them a Super Bowl there, you
right.
know, but I like it. I think it's a good solid deal for both sides.
I wish there was a category in between like it and hate it, like a meh.
Meh, meh.
I know, like, I was going to say meh. That too. I'm
you ever
like
seen the
different.
Emoji movie? Did your girls watch the Emoji movie?
Is that one of the characters?
He is meh. Like that. have you seen that movie?
No, I'm just laughing that you just brought
fantastic.
To the Emoji movie.
My girls have watched
you gotta
it.
You got to watch
it. I got to check it out.
The guy's
but
name is meh.
For me, like, yeah, I actually think this was probably a smart move for John Elway and the Broncos. They kicked the tires on Kirk Cousins and they said, you know what? We'd rather have Case Keenum around $10 to $12 million cheaper. And yeah, take a quarterback who's not quite as good, but we can put pieces around him. We can build around him. And this is a team that won a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning, and it wasn't the Peyton Manning in his prime. It was Peyton Manning is one of the worst quarterbacks ever to win a Super Bowl, if you looked at the entirety of that season. And I think – I have a theory about John Elway. I think he looks at today's quarterbacks and the money that's being kicked around – like thrown around at these quarterbacks. He's like, I'm not paying those guys that much. Like, they're not that much better than me. So he's looking for a bargain. And there's also the Gary Kubiak effect because – and Kubiak was my offensive coordinator when I was with the Broncos. He was the coach that brought in Case Keenum to the Houston Texans when he was the head coach there. He's a special advisor on Elway's staff. I think he likes Case Keenum and the value that he brings. So I think they're looking for good value, which I think is a smart play. But ultimately, I still think the Broncos will draft a quarterback. I still think they're going to look elsewhere for a long-term answer. But I feel like this option is way better than what they had on their rafter, on their roster. All right, next up.
Like it, love it, hate it.
Sam Bradford. I mean, get the ski mask out because he has robbed another team. Now going to the Arizona Cardinals for a reported 1 year, $20 million, 15 of which is guaranteed. Do you? Do we even have
like
to
it,
ask?
Like it, love it, hate it.
We just skipped this.
I one. Love it.
Oh, for
I
him.
Love it.
For him.
Love it. No. No, this is my meh. Like, I don't really. The Cardinals were in a weird spot. They were like, they're in a really weird spot, bro. You got Larry Fitzgerald coming back. They weren't a terrible, terrible team last year. How you tell Larry Fitzgerald in his last year, you're not going to get him a quarterback to throw him the ball and you're just going to tank and scrap. You don't have a top five pick. You can't build from the bottom up. They're stuck in the middle. And that's exactly what Sam Bradford is. A middle. Oh. Like, I get it. Now this is your John Elway coming out right now.
This is your John Elway. If we're going emojis, I'm the angry emoji. And I'll never be mad at a guy for getting paid. Right. Like Sam Bradford, by all accounts, great dude, right? But he is absolutely robbing right now. And my thing is, how can you be this dumb if you're the Cardinals? Like, how can you not realize what everybody else around, like this move was widely panned. Like everybody's like, what are they doing? Yeah. Why would you pay that? Everybody's saying, all right, it must be incentive laden. Like it must be, cause I would be okay if you brought him in and said, we'll give you 5 guaranteed, but you have to actually play 16 games to get the 20.
Right.
Like that to me would be okay.
What if that wasn't the market though? Like we can all say that, but if the market says that he's going to get,
here's the guy I probably would have gone for and you probably could have got him for a much reduced rate is AJ McCarron, who's still on the market, by the way.
How?
I would have brought him cause he's free agent. I would have brought him and paid him 10 and no, said, just... you know what? You know, so I would have gone and brought in a guy like that. I just think this is such, they're going out there and they're overspending. If you're comparing it to cars, I'm shopping for cars right now. Like they're buying a Mercedes-Benz that breaks down every time, but that like at one time was a really good car.
And when it runs, it's a pretty good car.
Right.
Because he has
been. But it ain't going to run. Sometimes you go in there and start it up and it doesn't even turn over.
I hear you. But I mean, like you could make, all right. Fair enough. I know where you stand on Sam Bradford.
Yeah, you don't
having
have
said that, the last few times he's been healthy,
yeah,
like he's been great. Productive, right?
He looks great. He's awesome. He's always going to look great when he's healthy.
When
but
he's
that's,
healthy.
And yeah, listen, yeah. Every time we talk about quarterbacks, like evaluating them, that is one of the requirements.
Durability.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And we never discuss that when we're talking about guys coming out of the draft. Like we never say, oh, can he play 16 games? That should be a big question.
You're only, like when I was in the front office, there was you're only as valuable as you are available.
Absolutely.
So like you can be as dope as you are, but if you can't play,
right. The Cardinals totally forgot about that one. All right, next up.
Like it, love it, hate it.
Teddy Bridgewater. So the Jets were starting to scramble a little bit because yesterday you started to see all these pieces fall into place. The Jets were big players for Kirk Cousins. They wanted him. I'm sure they probably thought about Sam Bradford too. They ended up signing Teddy Bridgewater to a 1 year deal. Do you?
Like it, love it, hate it.
I love it for Teddy Bridgewater. The catastrophic knee injury, career ending, like some people thought. So to get an opportunity there, and who's the second guy in New York right now?
Josh McCown. If they bring him, which they should bring him back.
They should, right? Yeah. Solid, but older. Like,
yeah, he's a great mentor.
Yeah, I think it's good for Teddy to get a chance to, you know, if he's healthy, come back and start to rehab. I mean, his trajectory was on a nice little, like, mm-hmm. It was pointing in a good direction for him. I mean, not Hall of Fame quarterback, but a good solid NFL quarterback. So I like it for Teddy. I'm meh if we have that category for the Jets. Like I don't, even if he were 100% healthy and on that same trajectory, still not enough to get them like over any kind of proverbial hump there in New York. But I just think coming off of an injury like that, you have to temper expectations with any quarterback, let alone one that was just kind of growing as a young quarterback in the NFL.
I hate it. Okay. For Teddy.
Hated. For Teddy?
Yeah, because I think it's a bad situation for him to go to. I think there's a lot of question marks about his health. I think he probably he'd win the starting job, but I think he could get beat up. Like, I don't think they're very good around him. I would have loved to seen him come to the Dolphins and challenge Ryan Tannehill. I would love to see him go to the Jacksonville Jaguars and potentially push Blake Bortles. No, yeah. I would have loved to seen him go to Arizona. Like, I would have much rather seen him go to Arizona to reduce in much cheaper rate than Sam Bradford and be on a team that's willing to build around you. I don't think Teddy Bridgewater will be in a New York Jets uniform in 2 years. Like, I think he'll play this year and then he'll be somewhere else.
I guess the question, I agree with you, in terms of those being better destinations for him. But the problem is, like, do they offer you something? Like, do they want you? You know what I mean? Like, if you're telling me that Teddy had offers from the Dolphins and he had offers to go compete with Blake Bortles and whatnot, I'm 100% with you. But, you know, sometimes it comes down to, like, late in my career, you got to take what they give you.
Right.
You know, like, if you still want to play and you want that platform to show them you still got what you got, you got to.
I think Teddy probably thought, I want to be a starter. Where's the best place I can be a starter?
Yeah,
but I don't know if that's definitely the best option.
That's tough.
All right, let's move some quicker through some of these wide receiver deals that we got. And do we?
Like it, love it, hate it.
All right, Allen Robinson, our friend of the show, gets a big payday for the Bears. 3 years, $42 million, 25 guaranteed. How do you stand?
We saw this one coming.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it for Mitch Trubisky. Love it for Allen Robinson. I think you put him, and if they can get Kevin White, their, you know, from 3 years ago, their number one pick, who's another big guy on the outside, you'll have a ton of mismatches on the outside. So we love that for our guy. All right, Sammy Watkins goes to
like
the
it,
Chiefs.
Love it, hate it.
3 years, love 48
it.
Million.
I actually love it, and I know Sammy's getting killed for not living up to the hype, and
he's so young.
He's a baby now. Historically, like, receivers don't come back great from that foot injury.
Right.
Like, I was reading about that last night, and, you know, Dez Bryant went down with a broken foot. There haven't been a lot of guys that recovered well from that, but when you talk about the weaponry that they could potentially have out there in Kansas City now.
Yeah, and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
Correct.
Kareem Hunt. They got some weapons.
I think a lot of it hinges, though, on it's Patrick Mahomes, right? Yeah. Like, I love the deal for Sammy Watkins. I think, in theory, it could be a really good deal for Kansas City if he plays well. But, you know, if you don't have a guy who can throw the bean around and get it to people where they like it,
I don't love it. I don't hate it. I feel like this is a myth for a wide receiver. Right. I just feel like he has all this potential. And at some point in your career, you have to start using the word potential and go to production. And he hasn't done it yet. So this is the big contract for Sammy Watkins. It's a critical moment in his career. He hasn't lived up to the hype yet. And he was incredible at Clemson. He was incredible coming out. Didn't fulfill expectations with the Bills. Gets traded. So he's been to two teams already. Like, that to me are some red flags. All right, Miami Dolphins.
Like it, love it, hate it.
Sign a couple
sucks
wide receivers.
For
ridiculous.
Sucks for Danny Amendola.
All right, Danny Amendola. They get him, pick him up from the Patriots, and Albert Wilson. Now, full disclosure, did you guys know who Albert Wilson was before yesterday?
No.
I didn't really either, and I'm supposed to be the expert here on the NFL things. Like, I had his name rang a bell, but I was like, oh, what kind of numbers did he put up? He's been all right for the Chiefs. I thought they way overspent for him. The Amendola piece... Yeah, I think it's, you know, good. He's a decent receiver, but I think if you're looking to help Ryan Tannehill, I Jarvis Landry, you let him go.
Look,
and I don't.
You let Jarvis Landry go, and this is what you want. Like, this is what you wind up with,
right?
Like, you wind up with 5 years, $36 million for these two. And listen, I mean, Danny Amendola. How old is Danny Amendola right now? 32.
Yeah.
How much did he get paid in New England last year?
He took a pay cut.
Yeah.
He took a
pay
cut.
But here's the thing about Danny Amendola.
In New England.
Yeah.
Right. So you anyway.
Here's the thing about Amendola. I think he is tailor-made for Tom Brady and that offense. And Brady will do this. He makes a lot of receivers look good because of his pinpoint accuracy.
Because he's Tom Brady.
Exactly. But Ryan Tannehill is not.
No,
she's okay with
it.
Oh, yeah. She doesn't like that. But, like, Ryan Tannehill is not Tom Brady. They're not going to be able to, you know, line up guys and put a man-to-man in the slot and have him just slice and dice defenses.
Dude, Dolphins fans are asking for them to draft a quarterback. No, he's not Tom Brady.
Like,
All right, last one. The Green Bay Packers.
Like it, love it, hate it.
They made a bunch of moves. They released Aaron Rodgers' boy, Jordy Nelson. They signed Jimmy Graham, tight end, big weapon for them. A guy who didn't live up to the hype in Seattle but was incredible with New Orleans. And they signed a defensive lineman, Mo Wilkerson. Like it, love it, or hate him?
Dude, what are the Packers? You love it? Go ahead. Yeah, please.
No, there was no way Jimmy Graham was going to go back to the Saints.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have liked to seen the reunion there.
That would have been cool, but
I don't, the Mo Wilkerson one for me is a guy who got paid and then kind of shut it down, much like we saw Sue in Miami. And you have to be really careful as a whole paying defensive linemen, like as a unit, like, and I hate to lump them all in together, but we've seen historically Albert Haynesworth gets paid. Sue gets paid. Once they get paid, they kind of get a little bit lazy. And if you get out of shape as a defensive lineman, you are not the same. But now if you get, maybe you get a guy cheaper and you get him hungry, but I like the Jimmy Graham one. I don't love the Mo Wilkerson signing.
I mean, given one of the best quarterbacks in the league, more weapons, more red zone, you know, targets, I'm always in for that. Like, I don't know that Jimmy Graham has a whole lot of tread left on the tire. I hope he does. But I don't know. Just in general though, it's rare in the NFL, like, that you see teams without cap space, like, considerable cap space,
right,
be bad rosters. Like, usually bad rosters, like, you have a lot of flexibility, like, you're bad for a reason. Like,
yeah,
the Green Bay Packers, they always leave me like, yeah, he's dope, but what else do you have around him? Like, the rest of your roster isn't very tight. And so while Jimmy and Mo, okay, has it done enough to, I keep using the term, move the needle? And to me, the answer is no.
Right. All right, let's keep it moving. Let's get to our favorite part of the show.
Here's what's happening with Hannah.
All right, so the wait proved to be worth it for Malcolm Butler. The two-time Super Bowl champion cornerback will officially sign with the Tennessee Titans today, according to reports. The contract is expected to be a 5-year, $61 million deal with at least $30 million guaranteed. In addition, running back Deion Lewis also leaving town to sign a 4-year contract with the Titans, according to reports. The deal is 4 years worth up to $23.4 million, which could make Lewis one of the highest-paid running backs in average annual value.
Good. I think this is a great move for the Titans. Good for Malcolm Butler, too. There was a lot of just stuff that came out of the Super Bowl. Remember, he didn't start, and they're like, what's going on? Is he a bad dude? And he was able to still get paid despite all the negativity that was surrounding him during the Super Bowl. And Deion Lewis, I think, is a secret weapon that they'll be able to utilize.
Andrew Norwell may not be a household name, but now he's the highest paid offensive lineman in all of football. The all-pro guard set to ink a 5-year, $66.5 million deal with the Jags, with $30 million of that guaranteed, joining an O-line that already helped boost the best rushing attack in the NFL last season.
I think it's pretty clear what Doug Marrone and Tom Coughlin want to do. They let Allen Robinson go. They want to run the football, and they got to pay those big boys up front.
Some NBA talk now. Every fan of the Warriors is waiting for the return of Steph Curry, and unfortunately, they're going to have to wait a little bit longer as the team announced that Curry will be out until Tuesday, March 20th, at which point he will be re-evaluated. Curry has already missed 17 games this season, plus all but 2 minutes of Thursday's game against the Spurs when he re-injured his ankle. Plus, Kawhi Leonard won't be returning to the court as expected on Thursday against the Pelicans.
Saw this one coming for the Warriors. You just want to make sure he's healthy right now. Although I will make the case that what I saw him doing at his birthday party could be more strenuous.
we'll get to that. Like, topics.
Like, I mean, he could get hurt just as easily doing that. But no, in all seriousness, just make sure he's healthy. Going into the playoffs, can't afford any lingering effects from that injury. Now, the Kawhi one's interesting because I think this is more of the same from San Antonio. Like, it's been all year. Like, Kawhi is able to come back. Maybe he's coming back now, and then the date keeps getting pushed back. So, I mean, I think you could pretty much chalk up this season for San Antonio. Like, they're not really going to be a threat if he comes back now. I don't think that's realistic. The question is whether he and the organization can kind of salvage the relationship.
When there are only 4 people in NBA history to accomplish a specific feat, you know it's special. Russell Westbrook becomes only the 4th player to tally 100 career triple-doubles, doing so with a 32-12-12 stat line in a win over the Hawks and joining Oscar Robertson, Magic Johnson, and Jason Kidd on that exclusive triple-digit triple-double mark. Meanwhile, LeBron set a career high with his 14th triple-double of the season as the Cavs blew out the Suns.
I want to give you props for navigating through the triple-digit, triple-double like minefield. Like, that was a
tried to trip her up there.
Yeah. Look, he just plays super hard. I mean, he's super talented and skilled and one of the best point guards in the NBA, but I think it's a good lesson for young players, too. Like, you see a guy like that who just plays harder than everybody else. That's what the essence of most sport should be, in my opinion. I think it gets lost at the pro level sometimes. Like, at minimum, you should be playing as hard as you can play, and then it's about who the most skilled is. And you don't always get that, but kudos to Russ.
And lastly, the tourney has officially tipped off with 2 play-in games Tuesday night. Radford emerges over LIU Brooklyn in a battle of 16 seeds for the right to take on Villanova, while the Bonnies beat UCLA, advancing to face Florida in round 1. 2 more play-in Play-ins Wednesday before the madness truly begins on Thursday. Get your brackets ready.
I don't really care. But here's no, really, like, who cares? Like, Radford and LA, yeah, sweet
but
state
UCLA.
Bodies. But here's my deal. Here, this is my question. I'm going to ask you because it's your guy. Where is LeVar right now? And is he in all of his glory? Because yes. Jello, he's somewhere right now saying Jello would have had something to do with that.
You bring up an outstanding point. I give it 48 hours before he says they would be the final four.
With Jello?
Yeah, yeah. They had his boy. They'd be in the final four. Like, I give it 48 hours before that announcement comes, before I start seeing those sound bites. All right. March Madness, we saw it. I don't know if you count it official. I think it is. I think it is official because if you win those games and you keep winning, you could win.
Absolutely.
You could win the championship. So we had the first of the tournament tip last night. But let's get some bigger storylines based on the regions. All right. So let's start off with the South. And I think the biggest storyline is Virginia. Can they get over that hump? Can their style of play win with the defense, with not the best, most athletic guys that you'll see in the tournament? But can they get it done? Or do you like Arizona with DeAndre Ayton? A lot of people are picking them.
So
Kentucky,
picked,
like, this is an interesting bracket.
It is an interesting bracket. Is this, like, are there spoiler alerts? Am I supposed to hold my top four picks, or can I hold them right now?
Hold them.
Hold them. Okay.
Till
Thursday. All right. UVA could potentially get it done, in theory. Like, they're really good. And I spoke to it, like, defensively, there's no one in the country. Like, West Virginia plays great, but it's a different style of defense. It's up. It's more pressure. They're better offensively than I gave them credit for being. But ultimately, I don't think they get over the hump. Playing that style, you don't have explosive, you know, scorers and playmakers around the floor. You're just built to be really solid. You face some of these teams with multiple pros, and if they're hot, and if ifs were a fifth, we'd all be drunk, is like a saying they use down here, right? But if you find them on a hot night, they're going to beat you, and so I don't have them winning the championship.
I'd like them in this bracket, in this region, because I think Kentucky – I don't think they're as good as they've been in years past.
Right.
I think they've shown some really inconsistencies. I think everybody's hot on Arizona, but I don't know how good they are actually. But I think because they were in the FBI scandal, people kind of attach themselves. They start seeing them, talking about them.
Yep.
They start to fall in love with that. So I think this might be the year for Tony Bennett, that you can actually do something with this team in a weaker field.
Yeah.
Like, there aren't those teams with, like, the Kentucky who's stacked with one and dones, or the type of game-changing players that you see typically in the tournament. So I actually like them. But this region has some good storylines. All right, let's move to the West. Michael Porter Jr. back. We saw him in the SEC tournament. Not very much. Gets Florida State in the first round. You got UNC trying to go for back-to-back. You got Xavier with his number one seed in this one. What's your favorite storyline in this one?
Storyline would probably be twofold. It would be, you know, what is Michael Porter Jr. going to look like? And does that affect?
Hopefully, it's only one game.
Yeah, I actually have FSU beating them. Like, I don't. But what does he look like? Like, is does he have a little bit of lift back? Does he look good offensively? Mm-hmm. Just for his own personal. Like, it's got nothing to do with the tournament. But the question for me is whether Xavier, who, you know, I think they're a tier above mid major.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not like a true mid major. They're kind of in that middle ground between mid major and major programs, or major programs. Can they get it done? I mean, because they had a great season, phenomenal season, one seed. But you got some blue bloods in there. You got your Ohio States of the world. You got your, you know, North Carolina. So that's the question for me. Michigan.
Yep. All right. Let's move to the East. Can Villanova win as the favorite? You've got Bama, who's a hot team as of late, with Colin Sexton. West Virginia that you talked about. The two seed Purdue had a really good start to the season. You know, struggled a little bit late. My favorite one in this one. And I'm trying to win over some Bama fans. I actually like this Bama team. Like, I really do. Like, I love Colin Sexton. I think they're fun to watch. And I think sometimes it is about can you get hot at the right time? I think they're a hot team. I know they didn't win the SEC tournament, but they got hot at the right time. The big win over Auburn when they came back from 10 down, like, to beat them by 20. I think this team has a lot of potential.
My problem with them is you got, like, one bullet in the chamber, and it's Colin Sexton. And if he's not cooking, you've got no action. And so while I think everything you just said is true, and I like the kid, I'd like to see more of him. He's electrifying, like, athletically. And I like Avery in general. Like, he was one of my vets when I played in San Antonio and Dallas. But I don't think that's going to work in the playoffs. I don't think he's as good as, like, a Kemba, the year that Kemba and those guys went banana cakes and Kemba was just cooking people. I don't think he's that kind of player. And you'll see Villanova, if you get through Vatek in the second round, it's a wrap.
All right, let's move to the Midwest, where Kansas, a lot of people saying Kansas got hosed because this bracket is so tough with Michigan State in there. Duke is a really hot team right now. But is there anything we're really going to talk about outside of this one besides Trae Young and Oklahoma?
Oh, dude, I thought you were saying Grayson Allen and no, my bad.
We'll save that for the tournament special podcast that's coming out later.
No, I think well, the storyline clearly is how loaded the bracket is, right? And, and you know, what you have to do to get out of it. But Oklahoma against a good Rhode Island team. We had Reed was on, what, a week ago?
Mm-hmm.
And we asked him about one of his teams. And didn't he say Rhode Island? Wasn't that one of his teams?
They're good. I want Rhode Island to win because I want Danny Hurley to go against Duke.
Yeah.
Like, go against his brother's old squad. I just would like that matchup. But I really think this is going to be, because Oklahoma was a polarizing team. I don't think they should have gotten in. Are they going to be able to, like, do they hear all that noise, all the people doubting them, and can they prove everybody wrong? Or do they prove everybody right that said, you know what, they were awful down the stretch, they didn't belong, and they end up getting bounced?
I think that, look, they're going to beat Rhode Island.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I took the 10
and
do
our whole bracket one there, but.
But I don't
think upset mine.
Another one that might get a game, but they're not getting two.
All right, let's move on to some topics, Debo. What do you got for us today?
Topics.
That was the worst one.
No, I know, because it's such a short topics. Word. All right.
So Tom Brady, he's either cool again or he's a freaking robot. He went on the Late Show on CBS with Stephen Colbert and chugged a beer like it was Ann Arbor in 1998. Which one is it? Cool again or robot?
He's a nerd, all right?
He's a tool.
He's a dork.
Oh, my God. No, but
there's a separate conversation. He's the greatest quarterback of all time, but he is an absolute nerd who I think thought he was really cool because he did that.
He did. It was so uncomfortable to watch.
He's a tool.
No, I agree. He's like cringeworthy.
Yes. Why does everybody like love it and say, oh, he's
that's
the best.
My what is that?
Right.
It's fun to see somebody who is so good be like, you know, have fun behind the scenes too. Like, you rarely see him having fun. Like, he's all business.
It was almost like it was scripted. Like, hey, how can we make Tom look more likable?
Well, it was because he just pulled the beard.
It was almost like I don't think that was Colbert's idea. Like, I think it was Brady's idea. Like, hey, let's go show him like he's a regular
dude.
No
way it was his idea. His PR people trying to be like
his image is
such. Make you more likable.
He's not going to be ever like the guy's guy because he's married to a supermodel. He has somebody dressing him that makes him look like a GQ supermodel. Like, he's a nerd.
So he doesn't dress himself?
No, he's a loser.
No way he dresses himself. He did look good in the turtleneck.
This is not breaking. Like, I cannot relate to that at all. Like, I can't. Like, the level of uncomfortableness.
Don't you think people dress LeBron and D Wade?
No. I mean, for major events, like if you're saying I'm going to the ESPYs and you want to get a stylist.
I think you're wrong. I think LeBron has somebody laying out his clothes to go to the game.
Nah.
Not like on a weekend.
Other than his wife?
I think he does. I think he has a stylist. I know D Wade does.
Yeah, no, D-Wade has to.
I don't know that these guys do.
We got to get to the bottom of this. We're going to have to do some research because they all have stylists.
I mean, now, you can have a stylist, but like a
are
stylist.
Are they just for the ESPYs?
Are they for major events, right?
We have to take a poll on Twitter too and see what people think because I'm interested in, is this like an easy answer? I don't know. Because I thought,
we're
going to
find out.
Danny seems confident.
I feel very confident. When I was at the NBA All-Star Weekend, we talked to some of them and I saw the crews that were surrounding these people. Like, they all have teams of people. And I think they have people. I think it's the norm now.
So if Tom Brady
was a top 15 player,
I don't mean to switch it back because this is fascinating.
Oh yeah.
If Tom Brady wasn't Tom Brady, right? Would he be the dude like in college? It was just kind of like on the peripheral, just trying to be down with what you guys were doing.
Yeah,
and he'd be
like
who the hell is this dude?
Yes.
The guy who gets in your Uber even though you didn't invite him.
Yeah, you'd be like
who this
brought
guy
him?
In my car right
correct.
Now?
Who is this guy?
Yes, I think he's awesome.
That's who he'd be.
Yep.
Jesus.
Danny informed me that he has not watched the last chapter of Tom versus Time. So surprising there.
Look, I did see photos of his cut. Like, they released that in there. It's on the viewing schedule tonight.
Everybody's got choices. The Warriors made the decision to cancel practice because they partied too damn hard at Steph Curry's 30th birthday party. Sorry, that kind of reads like a TMZ headline. So Steph pulled up in a yacht, ate ribs on stage while E-40 performed. While the rest of the team had their fun as well. So about that number one seed.
Yeah.
Wait, practice was canceled yesterday?
Yeah, the day after.
The day after.
Yeah, it's probably the best thing to do, though. Like, why go in the gym? Everybody's bent. Like why be in the gym messing around and have somebody get hurt? And, like, while a casual fan's going to be like, hey, you guys are in the middle of the season. Like, you need to be like, who really cares? Like, seriously, who cares? There are like 16 games left. They've been to three straight finals. They're going to go to another one. Like, let them boys have some fun, man. I think that's why people love Steve Kerr and that front office. They're laid back enough to be like, look, take the day off.
Do you see Steve Kerr dancing?
No, I need to look that up, though.
I saw Clay dancing. Like, I think this is one of those ones where I'm totally with you. I think fans who've never had that kind of behind-the-scenes look would be like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe they're going to cancel practice. But I think it's like... not that big a deal at all.
Yeah,
like,
I
think
agree.
It's like whatever.
And for all, like of all people, like, and it's his 30th. I think it's fine. Yeah. I support it.
Tiger, the favorite at Bay Hill. Danny, you make that Masters bet yet?
Not yet, because I think it's bad odds. Like, I'll go with the prediction, but I'm not going to waste money.
Yeah,
on
dude,
it.
The value's not there now, right?
Right,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
a week ago. All right, last topic.
Oh, can I ask a question real quick? Yeah, real talk. Go. What was he wearing at the press? Did you see that?
What was the President's Cup? I think they
were promoting. Oh, that was President's Cup stuff.
I think they were promoting the President's
Cup.
That's
it, though,
why he came
out. I thought like Nike, like he had like.
No, because like, they had him at photo shoot with him and Artie Els.
Got it.
Holding kangaroos. Oh. It's a little bit. It looks like he's molesting the kangaroo. Like, I don't know what happened there with the grip.
Yeah. I know.
It's a little awkward.
Yeah, a little strange. Yeah.
That's why I knew that, because I saw that picture. Because I was thinking the same thing as you. Like, oh, what's he wearing?
Right.
So Hannah, I think, still rooting for Tiger to fail, but maybe still rooting for Tim Tebow to succeed.
Oh yeah.
Problem is, he kind of sucks at baseball. 1-for-18 with 11 strikeouts will get you cut from the big league camp. That's good for an 0.56 average. Ooh. So for reference, Danny in the minor leagues hit 237 in 76 at bats in 2001. That with the Newark Bears. What would you
with
have
a home
hit?
Run and two triples.
Yo.
Yeah.
Yo.
What's up? Showcasing that speed.
What? How many stolen bases?
Not many.
What would you have hit if you got the spring training shot?
More than 0.56. I probably would hit the same. Like, I probably would hit around 235, 240. Like, I would have, that was my goal when I played minor league baseball, was don't embarrass yourself. Don't take a roster spot off of other guys who were trying to make it, like, at least be able to hang. Because, like, the team average was 265. So I wasn't that far off.
Yeah.
That was my goal. But hey, Hannah can go watch him in Port St. Lucie. I don't know. Is that where he's
going? Port St. Lousy.
Yeah. That's what they called it. Yeah, you can go watch him in the minors.
I hate myself.
PGA Village is nice up there, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's nothing nice about Port St. Lucie.
All right. we should do our podcast live from a Mets minor league game.
Dope.
And just
I had
like,
a good time in Port St. Lucie on the golf courses up there.
Yeah,
man.
They got some good golf up there.
Literally, it's like so quiet up there.
Yeah, they don't have much else going on besides that. All right. Thanks for checking us out. Make sure you go subscribe and download on Apple Podcasts or anywhere they have podcasts available, wherever you prefer to listen. Tuned In, Stitcher, all those good spots. Make sure you check us out. Follow us at Canell and Bell on Twitter and Instagram. And make sure you check out Debo. He's doing a really good job on social media. We need to get our numbers up.
And check us out Thursday.
Yeah, bonus pod coming out.